Last time we started some issues relating to the bracha of Nachem. So today we'll continue issues relating to the bracha of Nachem. So last time I think what we discussed was where it comes from, why only Mincha of all places, not all the other tefillos of the day. We mentioned that next time we're going to discuss whether we should still say it, Bizman Hazeh. Today we're going to discuss two other issues. Number one, once you are saying it only at one tefillah, and you're only going to say it at Mincha, but you still have to decide where to place it in Shemona Esrei, and Bonei Yerushalayim is an unusual place to place any addition into Shemona Esrei, so we'll try to understand that. And then we'll move on to what happens if Rachman al Tzan, a person has to eat on Tisha B'Av, and they have to therefore bench on Tisha B'Av. Do you say Nachim in benching on Tisha B'Av? You have a very similar shaila, for example, when it comes to Yom Kippur. By Yom Kippur, it gets a little more complicated because it's not only about having to bench. If a person, Rachman al Tzan, Zechol HaShiyash B'Sakana, and so do they say Alev Yavo? By Yom Kippur, there's a more famous issue. Anyone know the more famous issue for someone has to eat on Yom Kippur? What about saying Kiddush? Is there a din of Kiddush? Excuse me. On Yom Kippur. Or for this year, Tisha B'Av, there's another issue also. Not Kiddush, obviously, on Tisha B'Av, but there is an issue of Havdalah. Right? Do you just wait till Motzei Shabbos Havdalah? Do you do Havdalah on Tisha B'Av? Can you do Havdalah ala Yayin? On Tisha B'Av is a Shaykh, but you could drink wine for Havdalah on Tisha B'Av. Okay, but that's not really our topic. We're here to discuss Bonei Yerushalayim, right? Why is it that of all the places to put Nachim, they're going to put in Bonei Yerushalayim? So remember last time we quoted Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi tells us that Nachim is what's called Haskaras Me'ein Hamora, which means it's just like Yalav Yavo, it's just like Ritzayin benching, and therefore it's required Mariv, Shachris, Mincha, all the tefillos of the day. And the Yerushalmi has a machlokas where to put it, but none of the options are in Bonei Yerushalayim. What are the two options of where to put it? What would the two logical options be? Shema Kaleinu. Why Shema Kaleinu? What would be the reason of Shema Kaleinu? What? You insert your own tefillin. And that's where we would put Aneinu. Okay, what else? What would the other reasonable option be? Where else do we add things? Oh, well, okay, but that's what I'm saying. When we add Haskaras Me'ina Ma'ora, we add Yalav Yava or Alanis, right? So it's in Hoda'ah. So that's a question, whether you add in Shema Kaleinu, or actually, not even that, it's in Avoda or Hoda'ah. Let's see. Have a sitter right here. So in a typical Shemona Esrei, Avoda's in Ritzei. Right, so Yalav Yavo gets added in Ritzei. Shema Kaleinu would be your own separate other tefillos that you would say. But Haskaras Me'ina Ma'ora is never really added into Shema Kaleinu. So Yalav Yavo is added into Ritzei, and Alanisim is added into Hoda'ah. Right? And the Art School Siddur, they're kind enough to label each bracha for you. So Modin is the bracha of Hoda'ah. That's where we add the Alanisim. So there is a machlokas whether this is a Ritzei edition or a Modim edition. That's the machlokas in Yerushalmi. No one says that it's a Bonei Yerushalayim edition. So the Beis Yosef writes that there is this machlokas whether it should be in Avoda or in Hoda'ah, but then he says, but the Rif and the Rush say that our minigas we say it in Bonei Yerushalayim. Why? Because even though Shaul Adam Tzrach B'Shomei Tefillah, in Balomar Bisov Kol Bracha Me'ein Osa Bracha Omer. You guys said Shomei Tefillah. Shomei Tefillah, you're allowed to be Shoel Tzrach if you could ask for whatever things you need. But in addition to that, the Gemara in Tainus tells us, the Gemara says that at the end of each bracha, you can add something that relates to that bracha. So Beis Yosef says, so we're knowing to do Bonei Yerushalayim because it's about the same thing. It's about that bracha. It's all about Yerushalayim. That's a nice svara. It's wonderful. But the Yerushalmi had two opinions. And neither of them was Bonei Yerushalayim. So something went awry from you know, where the Yerushalmi was to where the Rishonim came along and decided to put it in Bonei Yerushalayim. What's the answer? What's the explanation? Why did we put it in Bonei Yerushalayim? Because remember we said last time, we don't really pass like the Yerushalmi. it's not a haskaras meina ma'ora at all. It's something else, whether it's a nichum avelim or something of that nature. It's some elongated version of a bracha, but it's not really part of haskaras meina ma'ora at all. In Harei Kedem, they quote Rav Salvechik as and the whole sefer quotes Rav Salvechik. One of Rav Shurkin, one of Rav Salvechik's Talmidim, wrote up Rav Salvechik's Torah is related to Yom Tovim, and he has a volume on Shabbos as well. So he says this whole machlokas between Yerushalmi and the Rishonim is really about what the Ikar Avelus of Tisha B'Av is about. According to the Yerushalmi, the Ikar Avelus of Tisha B'Av is the Churban of the Avoda, the Kedusha, the Kapara, the Karbanos, Tmidim, Mizbeach, all of that. So where does it belong? In Ritzei, in the bracha of the Avoda, right? Ritzei is about Avoda. So if you hold that it's all about Avoda, so that's what Tisha B'Av is about. That we're, what are we lamenting? What are we missing on Tisha B'Av? What we're missing is the loss of Avoda. So then it makes sense that we're going to add it in the bracha of Avoda. The fact that we say Yalav Yavo in Ritzei is because the Ikar Tefillah of is Yalav Zichronenu Letova. And the way that we generally do that is al yidei kapara. Utkatim chatzot zosal osechem val zivchei shalmeichem. Pasuk says in Bamidbar Parak Yud, v'hayu lachem lezikaron levnei Hashem Elokeichem. When is there a zikaron levnei Hashem Elokeichem? Zivchei shalmeichem. When there are karbanos. That's why Yalav Yavo makes it into Ritzei. Whatever's in Ritzei is going to be about Avoda. So you understand why there's one day in the Yerushalmi that says, put Nachim in Ritzei, because what are we mourning on Tisha B'Av? We're mourning the loss of Avoda. Rav Salvechik says, maybe the Rishonim that we follow, by putting Nachim in Bona Yerushalayim, assume that the Ikar Avelus of Tisha B'Av is not about the Avoda. It's about Yerushalayim. The Ikar Avelus is about the Churban of Yerushalayim and the Migdash Midine Yerushalayim. Meaning, this is an interesting idea that Rav Salvechik has in a number of different contexts. That Yerushalayim, to some extent, has Kedushas Migdash. There are certain the Mishnah talks about Eser Kedushas. The Mishnah Maseches Mitzvos goes through 10 levels of Kedusha, right? Kodesh HaKadosh, Mizmaos Kodesh, and the Heichal, and the Azara, v'chule, and goes to Har Habayis, and all of Yerushalayim, and Eretz Yisrael, right? That there's Eser Kedushas, 10 levels of Kedusha. So the Mishnah says, L'may Naf Kamina, what's an indication of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim? Right, where do we see an indication of Kedushas Yerushalayim? What halachos do you have that relate to Kedushas Yerushalayim? Okay, that's about our kavana, that we're always thinking about the Mikdash, that our tefilos go through the makam of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But that's the Mishnah says, what would you have said is a halacha about Yerushalayim? Something that's nogea in Yerushalayim. What can you eat in Yerushalayim? Maaser Sheni, right? Your Maaser Sheni can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. That would be an excellent example of Kedush. That's not the Mishnah's example. You know what the Mishnah's example is? That when you bring the Karban Omer, you have to bring it from grain that grew in Yerushalayim. Oh, what? Why would that be the example? There are all these other halachas of Yerushalayim. So as Salvechik explained, there's tzvei dinim in Yerushalayim. There's two Kedushas of Yerushalayim. There's Yerushalayim as Yerushalayim, and then there's Yerushalayim as extension of Mikdash. So we dafka want a halacha that's mikdash related, but is about Yerushalayim. Because all of these Eser Kedushos are about how the Kedusha, in its most intense form, is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then that Kedusha sort of spreads from the mikdash everywhere else, as opposed to a Kedusha that's inherent in Yerushalayim, a Kedusha that spreads. So I was thinking maybe this is a similar idea to what Rav Salvechik is saying over here, that it's in Bona Yerushalayim, even though we're, of course, lamenting the destruction of the Mikdash, but not the Avoda of the Mikdash. The Kedusha of the Mikdash, which affects the whole world. The Avoda of the Mikdash is a mitzvah. It's true. It's great. It's a very important mitzvah. But what we're lamenting is the loss of the Mikdash as a source of Kedusha. And that is felt in a very intense way in Yerushalayim. So in Bona Yerushalayim, it makes sense to have a bracha about the loss of Yerushalayim and Mikdash, because that's really what Tisha B'Av is about. It's about the loss of Mikdash in Yerushalayim, meaning the Kedusha of Mikdash in Yerushalayim. It's actually a major machlokas, Rambam Ramban, what the purpose of Mikdash is. Rav Sacks discussed this when he was here. Whether the purpose of Mikdash is for avoda. You need a place to do the avodas. So that's the purpose of mikdash. Or is that that's a din in mikdash? But the purpose of mikdash is hashras hashchina. That the real primary purpose of mikdash is a makom hashras hashchina. Right. So this works more with the idea that mikdash represents hashras hashchina. So, and that's what we're lamenting on Tisha B'Av, that's what we're mourning on Tisha B'Av, the loss of a certain clear presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a certain clear Hashras HaShechina. So that would be why, that's how Rav Salavitch explains why you would have it in Bona Yerushalayim and not, and why the Yerushalmi would say to have it in Avoda. I mean, that's the Machlokas. What is the Mikdash really about? Is it about Avoda or is it about Yerushalayim? Why Hoda'a? What would be the reason to have it in Modim? I mean, it's really weird in Modim, no? Meaning, what do I mean by that? It's really weird in Modim?
It's like, thank you, God.
Oh, thank you, God. We're so glad that we don't have the Beis Hamikdash and that Yerushalayim is a hovel. You know, it's you know, flames coming up, and that's horrible. Like, what? Why in the world would it be in Modim? Ah, so there is certainly an idea in Yiddishkeit that, you know, along the lines of what you're saying, that when we are faced with adversity, it helps make us better. You know, Rabbi Moshe Benovitz once said of art many, many years ago that we thank, you know, in the text of Al Hanisim, what do we thank Hashem for? We thank Hashem, Al Hanisim, Yala Porkan, art school translation, for the miracles, for the salvation. V'yala gvuros, for the mighty deeds. V'yala tshuos, for the victories. V'yala hamilchamos, and for the wars. Who on earth wants war? I mean, that's terrible. Why would we thank Hashem for the wars? Yeah, because we realize afterwards that those, we don't ask for them, but in retrospect, we realize that they made us stronger. So he's saying something similar, that having to face this adversity makes us yearn for HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little more, makes us earn our way back. Okay, I hear. That's a possibility. So another possibility is, we mentioned the idea last time, that part of the nechama, of the mincha time of Tisha B'Av, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had two options. You know, he was faced with two options. There was a lot of wrath that had to be taken out. Could have been taken out on the people or on a building. And he took it out on the building. And we're very grateful that it was taken out on Eitzim Avanim and not on us. And that's what the Prima Gadim writes. Prima Gadim says that it's a hoda'a in Tfilas Nachem, hoda'a v'shevach aleinu l'shabeach l'adon ha'kol sheshofa chamaso al Eitzim Va'avanim, that he took out his wrath on Eitzim Va'avanim. And then he adds one more thing. Gam betuchim anu shekvar hamigdash banui kulo l'mala v'yinosin lanu b'meir v'yamenu amein. What does that mean? Yeah, that it's already there. It's already kulo l'mala, the third base is already there. We're just waiting for it to come down. Now that is subject to machlokas. There are machlokas and midrashim, whether we're going to have to build the third base of Mikdash, or is it going to come down in Hashemayim. I always take every opportunity to point out that there is no machlokas, there's no medrash that I'm aware of that says that hotels and streets and, you know, and utilities and offices and yeshivos and batei medrash and shuls and everything, and are all going to come down in Hashemayim. No medrash that says that. How's that going to come? Meaning all the Jews are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Where's that going to come from? That's clear. That comes from us. We have to build that. And that's why every time I go to Eretz Yisrael, you know, and you see, like every time you see cranes all over the place, building everywhere, doesn't it fill you with like pride and like a sense that, wow, we're doing it. This is all getting ready. You know, we're building the infrastructure for Mashiach. Because he's going to come, and they're like, what? Just in the middle of a barren desert? Okay, basically he's going to come down. And where's everyone going to go? We need roads to get there. We need everything. You know, we need the infrastructure to accommodate everything. And we've been building it for the last 70 years, that infrastructure. Remarkably quickly, by the way, how, you know, that infrastructure is being built. That's an amazing thing. It's something to have great gratitude for. But what he's suggesting is, now we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the third base of Mikdash, which is already built. Did I see it? Do I know it? Maybe it's a little more than that. In the Tshuva's Dvar Yehoshua, he says that he thinks it's something else. He suggests that what we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for is the promise that it will happen. The promise of Geula. Now, generally speaking, there's a basic halacha in Hilchos Tefillah. There are two types of tefillah. There are many types of tefillah, but two basic. There's a bakasha and a hoda'a. Bakasha is for the future. I'm requesting for the future, right? Hoda'a is always for the past. If you do a bakasha on the past, what's that called? Anyone know what that's called? Tefillah shav, exactly. That's a tefillah in vain. What's the example the Mishnah gives them? Sechus brachos? There's a fire, good, in the town, and you say, oh, let it not be my house. It already happened. It's your house or it's not your house. You're not allowed to do a bakasha on the past. We also generally can't do a hoda'a on the future. It's not there yet. Hoda'a is only for things that were in the past. But when it's a guarantee from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we could do a hoda'a on the future. That's what the Dvar Yeshua suggests. And he says, the greatest raya, the last sugya makos, the last gemara makos. It's always fun to go to a sima makos, right? What's the last gemara makos? All the tanayim are looking at the foxes, although Dr. Rosner told me she believes that it's jackals, not foxes. She said, in that area, you see a lot more jackals. And she has no raya, but she thinks, liba omerla, that it's jackals, not foxes. Okay, but whatever it is, some animals, you know, all over the Makom HaMikdash, and everyone else is crying, and Rabbi Akiva is laughing. Because Rabbi Akiva knows that the Navi tells us, that just like the Navi told us that this is going to happen, so the Navi also tells us that there's going to be Banu Mubanos in the Rechavos Yerushalayim, and there's going to be happy times. But Nevuah al-Pi Hashem, it's ki'ilu, it happened already. A promise from Hashem is good as done. So it's shayich to have hoda'a, even though it seems so unusual to have hoda'a in the Brach of Nach. What? So that's interesting. Why dafka this one? I don't know. I don't know why we dafka do this one. But lechara should work for any nevuah. Yeah, nevuah l'tova. We know the halach is nevuah l'tova is never retracted. A nevuah l'ra'a could be retracted when we do tshuva. That's the purpose of the nevuah l'ra'a usually. So that we'll do tshuva. But a nevuah l'tova is never retracted. There is a discussion in poskim. Let's say you forgot Nachim in Bani Yerushalayim. I mean, this is where it makes an afimina. So you say it later in Shemona Esrei, but where? Do you say it in Hoda'a or do you say it in Avoda? So it happens to be in Machlokas. The Taz writes that Nachem is really a Bakasha, so it belongs in Avoda. Avoda is where you put a Bakasha. And Abu Dram writes, no, Nachem is really a Hoda'a, so you put it in Modim, not in Avoda. You have that difference, right? If you think about it, that makes sense with the Aleph Yavo and Alanisim also, right? Which one is future oriented? Which one is past oriented? Right, Alanisim is past, and in Aleph Yavo, Ya'alev Yavo, right? We should, right? It's future oriented. So Aleph Yavo is not going to be in Hoda'a, it's about the future. Alanisim is going to be in Hoda'a because it's about the past. All of this makes, right? It all fits all of a sudden. That's the machlokas in the Yerushalmi. We paskin like none of it. We paskin to put it in Bonu Yerushalayim because, like Rav Salvation explained, it's all about Churban Yerushalayim or Churban Amigdash Midin Yerushalayim based on it's the Hashras Hashchina, the connection that applies to Yerushalayim as well. But b'diavad, that's the explanation of this machlokas within the Yerushalmi, whether we should do Hoda or Avoda. Okay, what about Benchin? What about Nachem in Benchin? A few minutes on that. I give 10 minutes of Shion this morning. So if a person has to eat on Tisha B'Av, say Nachem in Benchin or not? Darkei Moshe quotes a Maharil. Maharil says, if you eat on Tisha B'Av, you have to say Nachem in Benchin, but if you forget it, you don't have to repeat Benchin. Okay. Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch, Mishal Chol B'Tishvav, Yomer Nachim B'Chsamazon. Bir Hagra goes wild on this. As far as, again, as wild as you can go in like three words, because the Bir Hagra is never more than like three, four words. But the Bir Hagra, not happy with this Ramah. It's a beferish Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos of Chavdal tells us that any day that doesn't have a Karban Musaf doesn't have Haskaras Me'ina Ma'ora. Doesn't have any mention in benching. There are no additions in benching for any day that doesn't have a Karban Musaf. So how could the Rama say that you're going to put an addition in benching for Tisha B'Av? There's no Karban Musaf in Tisha B'Av. What? One day it will be a holiday. Good. I did not see anyone that suggests, because there's still not going to be a Karban Musaf, even though it's going to be a day of celebration. Right? So.
That day will be the day of Mashiach comes.
What?
I mean, that will be the day of Mashiach comes. You'll do the Musaf that day. That'll be the day of Mashiach comes. That's what I'm saying.
But is there a Musaf that day?
No. I'm saying there, and that day Mashiach's going to come that day at that moment.
Which day?
The day you bench at Tisha B'Av. Yeah, because you shouldn't bench at Tisha B'Av because there's no Musaf that day.
No, but what we're saying, no, let's say you're benching. You're benching. We're not talking about, you have to bench because you ate, right? Let's say a person had to eat because Nebuchadnezzar was sick. We're talking about, should he say nachim? So the Gra says you can't say nachim on a day that doesn't have a musaf. Even if Mashiach comes that day, there's still no musaf. Right? Musaf is only for Shabbos, Yantif. So the Gemara deals with the kasha. It's an obvious kasha. What do we ever add into benching? Okay, Ritzei, there's a musaf on Shabbos. Yalav Yom, there's a musaf in Yantif. Oh, Alan Nissan. Yeah, I remember in DRS once, the kids were getting all antsy. Davening was taking so long, and it was Hanukkah. And one of the Rebbeim, Rabbi Gralo, was teaching DRS at the time, told the Shir, yeah, I know, we still got Musaf. And they're like, oh my God, Musaf! And I whatever. And like his whole Shir was sure that there was going to be, there's no Musaf on Hanukkah. It's a Yom Tov Midrabanan, right? There's no Musaf. But how do we, the Gemara asked the Kasha, how can we add Alan Nissan into Benjamin? There's no Muslims, you know what the Gemara says? Presuminisa is different. Okay, we have to figure out what in the world that means. Why is Presuminisa different? Rabbi Sif told me that what happens here in Camp Keli is Mamish Mace. That Camp Keli runs the way it does and that it's so beautiful. It's Mamish Mace. And he said, our PR department does Presuminisa. Okay, so they should change it to the PN department, the Presuminisa department. Okay. Rabbi Sif Ha'ara, no? So why is it? How do you defend the Ramah? There is no Karban Musaf. So how in the world can you say that there's an addition into benching? Three approaches I found. There's the Kleisenberger Rebbe in the Tshuva's Divrei Yitziv. Kleisenberger Rebbe was a very important figure post-Holocaust. He lived through the Holocaust, lost everything in the Holocaust, and helped rebuild the significant chassidus in Eretz Yisrael and gave a lot of people a lot of chizik right after the Holocaust. He is the Rebbe of Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. So, you know, in that way, indirectly, he's had a tremendous hashpa on, you know, all of us, because Rav Asher Weiss's Torah has hashpa, you know, Dalakan Fosaretz and all segments of Judaism. So in the Tshuva's Divrei Yitziv, I think it's pronounced actually, he says that, you know, the Shulchan Aruch writes that someone who eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av is Eino Zoche V'Roa B'Simchas Yerushalayim, is not going to be Zoche to see the Simcha of Yerushalayim. But obviously that doesn't apply for someone who's sick and has to eat on Tisha B'Av. So as a way of making a statement, yes, Ribono Shalom, I am eating on Tisha B'Av, but no, I have not forgotten the importance of Tisha B'Av, we throw Nachim into benching. Not because it's a kiyum of Haskaras Me'ina Ma'ora. It's not. There's no Haskaras Me'ina Ma'ora when there's no Musaf. It's not a kiyum of Haskaras Me'ina Ma'ora. What is it? It's our way of saying, I haven't forgotten. I know that it's Tisha B'Av, and therefore, I'm not amongst those who eats and drinks Tisha B'Av and ignores Tisha B'Av.
Where would you put Nachim in benching?
Ah, very good question. Probably wherever you put it. Oh, meaning would you put it like by modem or by probably putting in Shalayim would make sense, right? In Rachim, yeah, that's where we definitely put it, right? That's where the bracha that we put by a base avil. You know, there's a special bracha in a base avil that you add into benching, and a lot of benches doesn't even appear in the bencher. Someone told me when Rav Shechter was sitting Shiva, he was benching, and they needed the bracha for the base avil. And it wasn't in the bench, so he just pulled the Shulchan Aruch off the shelf and read it out of the Shulchan Aruch. Because it said, so the Nachim might be some form of that, which may also be an explanation of why it's there in benching, even though there's not Haskaras Mein Amor in benching. Maybe serves that function, that it's not Haskaras Mein Amor. It's if there's going to be a Nicham Avelim of a Yachid, right, in benching, so there should be a Nechama for an Avelis of the Rabbin in benching. So it's specifically over here where the Shulchan Aruch is out of his way to say that if you eat and drink on Tisha B'Av, you're Eino Zoche of Rabbi Simchasa. You're Chayiv Kareis, right? But Eino Zoche of Rabbi Simchasa, meaning about the future or whatever. So it's specifically in that case where you have to show that you're, meaning that you're not forgetting about the Avelus. You're not forgetting about the Avelus. The other suggestion that Kleisenberger has is that it's not to demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a reminder for self. Meaning, sometimes a person eats and drinks in Tisha B'Av, so they feel like, okay, so I don't have a Tisha B'Av. You know, so they start being makel on all of the other halachos of the avilus of Tisha B'Av. So as a way to remind oneself that, no, it's still Tisha B'Av and I still need to be careful, we add Nachin in. Again, both of these approaches suggest that Nachim is not really Haskaras Me'ein Hama'ora. Rav Soloveitchik has a third approach, Rabbi Kornitzer quotes it in the Sefer, where he suggests that you could distinguish between Yalav Yavo and Ritzei on the one hand, that's real Haskaras Me'ein Hama'ora, and as weird as it sounds, Al Hanisim and Nachim on the other hand. You would never associate Al Hanisim and Nachim, right? But he said Al Hanisim and Nachim on the other hand. He says, neither of those are Haskaras Mein Amor. Those are an arichus of an existing bracha. Haskaras Mein Amor is that there's a theme that doesn't make it into our regular benching, so we have to put it into benching. Shabbos doesn't make it into our regular benching, so we need to put Ritzei. Pesach doesn't make it into our regular benching, we have to put Yalav Yavo into benching. What happens to Al Nisim is we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for an event, for a miracle. Well, guess what? We already have a whole bracha of thanks. So we expand Nodelcha, we expand that bracha to accommodate this thank you as well. It's an arichus of a bracha. Rachim is already a bracha in benching. We expand Rachim to include Nachim. It's an expansion of existing bracha. Rav Soloveitchik said that this explains so beautifully. He says, you ever notice in your venture, before Al Hanisim, there's a Vav in parentheses. Why would you say Ve Al Hanisim? It's a continuation of Noda. He says that's why it would be Ve Al Hanisim, that you would want it all expand. And he says also, in Al Hamichya, there is nothing for Purim or Pesach, for Purim or Chanukah in Al Hamichya, in Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. Why would there be nothing for in Al Hamichya for these very important holidays, right? You look at the additions that you have for Sabbath, for Rosh Chodesh, for Pesach, for Shavuos, for Sukkot, for Shmiyat, for Rosh Hashanah. Why nothing in Al Hamichya for Purim or Chanukah, right? Nothing. So he says, because what is Al Hamichya? It's such a ha'ara of salvation. What is Al Hamichya? A benching that is a bracha k'tzara, condensed. The whole kunz of Al Hamichya is to be makatya, is to condense. What is Al Hanisim? An arichus. The whole point of Al Hanisim is an arichus within the bracha. You're not going to have Al Hanisim in Al Hamichya because you don't have an arichus within the condensed. Right? That's Rav Soloveitchik's beautiful ha'ara. So according to all three shittos, all three of these explanations, there is no Haskaras Mein Hama'ora in benching on Tisha B'Av. There's Nachim in benching on Tisha B'Av according to the Ramah, but no Haskaras Mein Hama'ora in benching on Tisha B'Av. These are just for different kiyumim that we have. So we will stop there, and God willing, tomorrow we'll talk about whether we should say Nachim Bizman Hazeh after 1967, now that we have a beautiful city of Yerushalayim, a bustling city of Yerushalayim.